JG 1. Number 5A.
Mrs. Eddy's explanation through revelation and scientific reasoning, what the science of all sciences is, really the foundation or basis that she has given for this science that governs changes, really that Christ science, realizing that her textbook is a phenomenon of the 6,000-year period. Therefore, we will always hear within it that translation and retranslation going on. That's that big point of this chapter on science, theology, and medicine, is really, as we have seen, that the textbook place value in the model of being is really that play of absolute Christian science in Christian science at the point of truth of the 6,000-year period. It's a textbook then for that bridge, really, so to speak, from the Bible to the model of being. The Bible, we know, closed at the beginning of the 5,000-year period with St. John's vision of the 7,000-year period of the model of being. But it's a textbook that takes us from the Bible to the model of being in consciousness, in science, in understanding. So the textbook has a twofold purpose. It's a divine algorithm of being. She could have said science and health, the divine algorithm of being, if she wrote it today, maybe. Meaning that it's science and health. That's an algorithm. That's a binary twofold code, the textbook is. We have science, where that truth is a two-edged sword. It, through the method of science, it reduces what the infinite one is to its basic constituents. Huh? It actually has within itself the reductionistic view. It can reduce, so we don't throw Newton out of the window. There was a value that a method of science could reduce the infinite one to its basic constituents. But we also see they are now putting the accentuation on the other branch of science, which is the synthesis, gathering all that back together again into a meaningful whole where the whole is greater than the sum of its part, because we're looking today for the universal tick, 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 tick. We want that harmony in being. So, therefore, we can see that considering the model of being, that infinite one I am, the science itself level, was the infinite principle, the infinite white light that surrounds us. And divine science is that realm, therefore, of divine principle love, which is, with its goal causality being the oneness causality of the universe, making everything one with its principle, always making principle and its idea one. That's the all in all. That's the goal of love, is oneness causality, wholeness causality. That surrounds the whole model of being, that wonderful sense of love. It surrounds our life. Now the textbook is explaining to us, see, it's that point of truth, of explanation. Jesus said, a little book will come and teach you all things. It will explain to you everything. So the textbook really is the textbook of absolute Christian science and Christian science, at that standpoint of truth, where it is what she discovered, she said, was the Christ science. You know, right away in the beginning of the chapter on science, theology, and medicine on page 107, she says in the year, go ahead and turn to it on page 107. She says, in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science. See, it's the science of the Christ idea. Or the laws of life, truth, and love. See? That's what the Christ science is those laws of life, truth, and love in their many, many variations. But, she says, I name my discovery Christian science. So she has that showing that what she discovered was the Christ science or the divine laws of life, truth, and love. She discovered laws really of spontaneity, which appear as the law of the divine creative impulsion. Really those laws that Buchholz was showing, that in being there is an inner dynamics, life, an inner logicity, truth, and an inner goal-directedness of love. She discovered those laws that were thinking man. But she named the discovery Christian science. It has two points, Christ science and Christian science. So what she discovered was absolute Christian science and its impact on the human, called Christian science. That's why on the model of being there's only one line that divides absolute Christian science from Christian science, because what she discovered was absolute Christian science. And she says her discovery is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards it. It's absolute. It's at the point of that Christ science. But she wanted to show its impact on the human, hence Christian science. So we see then that these laws are ever at work and always operating then as the science of all sciences, as a science that governs changes. And therefore the accentuation being on the Christ idea or Christ science, it's that Christ, which is the two-edged sword, as she showed us, has the first translation, which is the downward causation, bringing us to us what the science of God is, and at the same time taking away what is not the science of God through the phase transition, taking away a physical explanation of science to a more mental explanation of science, finally into a spiritual explanation of science, where we'll see here under this principle tone that all science is of God, all science is divine. There is no physical science. It's only that we have called it a physical science. That's why she calls it a so-called physical science. There's no physical science. We just misinterpreted the universe as mind and matter. But that's our problem. That's not God's, huh? There's only the science of God going on. If we've misinterpreted it, that's then man's problem and therefore has worked with laws of limitation. So this whole chapter, as you'll see, and we've seen together, is under the law of the translation and retranslation. That's its whole purpose, is to really show those laws of the Christ. Now, if we look at that little prospectus I handed out, and we look at the epitomes for the chapter in their main tones, that means on the pullout, you're just reading the main tone of mind, the main tone of spirit, the main tone of soul, the main tone of principle, the main tone of life, truth, and love. That goes along horizontally on this layout. If one was looking at Kapler's book on the epitomes for a spiritual structured interpretation of the Christian Science textbook, we would just be looking at the main epitomes for mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And when you listen, you can hear that the whole purpose of this chapter is as Max has given when he said that being, look up into the upper corner of your layout, up in this box, upper box, that's the main tone of the whole chapter, is that being is Emmanuel, God with us. This fact translates all that is not like God back into the God-like. Do you hear this twofold rhythm of God? Being is Emmanuel. God is with us. It comes to us, doesn't it? The downward causation. Emmanuel means God with you. God comes to you. First translation. And after the first translation is the second translation. This fact that God is with us translates all that is not God-like back into that which is God-like. Do you see? The phase transition. So we have in this chapter of the textbook, it's the Christ is the Christ. It can't get any more Christ than this chapter. In fact, she wanted to put it first because she saw how important it was to explain her science of all sciences. But she saw there had to be a build-up and understanding before this chapter. So she said that this is the crux of what is going on in the sciences today, that science of all sciences, the science that is governing changes, that is the fact that it is Immanuel, God with us, the first translation, the first part of the binary algorithm, and the second, the retranslation of all that is ungodlike. Now let's read the mind epitome together, just the top section, the basic mind tone. It's the all mind translates the belief of mortal mind out of itself back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. So we see that the all mind comes to us, the first translation, and translates the belief of a mortal mind or a mind separate from the divine mind out of itself back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. Do you hear the binary flow? The algorithm? Good. Then in spirit, it's the new language of spirit leavens the material sense of nature and of natural law and translates them back into the nature of spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Here we see how spirit comes to us. The first translation, the downward translation, spirit is with us. And because spirit is with us, it's going to translate out a material sense of nature. It doesn't say it's going to get rid of nature. And it doesn't say it's going to get rid of law. It's just going to get rid of a material physical sense of nature. So nature's okay. It's just suffering under a material sense. And that's why the earth is going through all its little rumblings. It's going through this phase transition. It's getting out of our explaining it as being physical into a mental, into a spiritual explanation. It's going through the it will reflect the same phase transition as we are. And nature, too, will go through its little chaos and its phase transition on the planet until it gets back into its natural form. The species are threatened today. And they're going through their crisis. Everything is. So spirit, which is the true nature of being, then comes to us and translates every misconception of nature and law back into the nature and law of spirit. Isn't that nice? So it doesn't take anything away. It just gives us a higher basis, and we sure like that. Then you hear this algorithm of the binary flow of translation and retranslation in the science that of changes, where she says the science of soul comes to us and replaces the false testimony of the physical senses with spiritual ideas, thereby translating seeing me into being. I wasn't quite sure if I felt a rumble here. The earth is responding, Lynn, isn't quite sure. I felt something. It could be our air conditioning going on, but we're getting used to these quakes, aren't we? So you can see, you hear it here too, how the science of soul, the science of spiritual sense, the spiritual interpretation of the universe comes to us and retranslates out all the false testimony of the physical senses. Explanation of what's going on with a spiritual sense, a spiritual explanation of what's going on, therefore translating seeming into being. And now the subject we'll take together mainly this evening is that principle tone where the ever operative divine principle is coming to us, replacing the concept of a material science. She doesn't say it's getting rid of science. She's just saying it's replacing the concept, the belief of a material science, the belief of a natural science with the science of God. And then in theology, you know, we studied how the one life comes to us, that principle which is life, that life principle, and translates a dead theology into a living, practical theology. Or in truth, that wonderful subject of medicine, oh, how terrific, where it showed how that sense of truth, of Christian science, truth healing, comes to us and replaces the common belief in the curative effect of drugs with that truth is the only remedy. In that part of the chapter, she always shows that a physical effect is always some belief objectified, huh? And that the only healing is that ideas replace beliefs, and when ideas have replaced beliefs, then those beliefs yield, and then the physical claim yields, because the physical is just the effect of some false belief objectified. So this whole point of science, theology, and medicine, as the whole textbook is under this super branch of truth, the algorithm of the two-edged sword of truth. And especially this chapter, because it is the Christ as the Christ. It's Christ science as Christ science. You get the nutshell of it all. Now, when we look at the tone of principle, and we were reading it together, I'm not going to read it through sentence by sentence. We've already done that in class together in times past. But we're going to just take the overall tonality, and we can follow some notes that I've made. But before our break this evening for dinner, let's just look at this point and see the main points that are going to be coming out in this principle as mind, principle as spirit, principle as soul, principle as life, principle as truth, principle as love tone in this part of the textbook. What we will see is that this ever operative divine principle replaces the concept of a material science with the science of God. Already back at the time of Dubois Raymond, who was a natural scientist and philosopher in 100 years ago, actually in 1880, he already was asking the same questions that they're asking today in books like Paul Davies in the Cosmic Blueprint. He published a book called Die Sieben Welträtsels, meaning the seven enigmas of the world. He obviously was German. And in his book, it's seven, whatever in the world it is. Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben. Die sieben Welträtsels, the seven enigmas of the world. He already foresaw that these were important questions, and my goodness, right at that time, Mrs. Eddy is writing the answers into the textbook, into this chapter. Actually, this chapter, I think she wrote in 1891, around that time, but this was moving in her consciousness, so at the time he was asking the questions, she was answering it in the sixth chapter. His first question was, what is the origin of movement? And before dinner, we'll just take it in a nutshell after. I want to go into more detail from the text itself in the textbook, how she answers these questions, but this is giving you just a vision of what we will discuss this evening. In the principle of mind tone, she answers, what is the origin of movement? And she'll say, the reason for asking, is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force? Is that Christian science must answer that question to the world, or all will be destroyed, she said, by fire. But I've also heard that she has said by volcanic action in Clectania in the year 2000. That was something that was transcribed by one of her students, that Mrs. Eddy said when she at the time she was writing this chapter. But actually in the chapter she says, adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to the divine principle and support the equipoise of that thought force which launched the earth into its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. She says, we tread on forces, withdraw them, and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, but divine science declares that they belong wholly to the divine mind and are inherent in the mind, and so restores them to their rightful home and classification. Isn't that wonderful? That at the time Dubois Rimon was asking, what is the origin of movement? She says, the origin of movement is the forces of mind. And we see in Paul Davies' book, that's his whole question. What is the origin of movement? What is the origin of the universe? Well, it's answered right here in the principle of mind tone. Then the next big point that we will see is, what is the nature of matter and energy? Well, she shows then at the principle of spirit tone, we will see, she says on page 125, line 31 to 126, 2, thus, you can turn to it if you like, on page 125, 31, thus matter will finally be proved nothing more.
26.
Uh-huh. She says, excuse me, I'll start again. She says, I guess you're looking for it there. It's on page 125, line 32. Line 31, excuse me. Did you find it? Okay. She says, thus matter will finally be proved nothing more than a mortal belief, wholly inadequate to affect a man through its supposed organic action or supposed existence. So what she says, what is the nature of matter and energy? She says, well, she says, matter is going to be proved nothing more than a mortal belief. That's its nature. It's just a mortal belief. And anyhow, she says, it's not only a mortal belief, it's totally inadequate to explain existence. And then elsewhere in the textbook, she says, under the mind of spirit tone, she says, these three great verities of spirit, omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. Spirit possessing all power, filling all space, constituting all science, contradict forever the belief that matter can be actual. These eternal verities reveal primeval existence as the radiant reality of God's creation, in which all that He has made is pronounced by His wisdom good. So she says, the nature of matter and energy, are they just a belief of mortal mind? That it isn't really matter and energy as such, per se, a substance separate from the mind, but that actually that substance is spirit, an idea existing in the divine mind. And then quickly, I'll just go on here. She says, and we'll come back to where all these places are. I don't want to wait for us to have to look up the references. We'll come back to them this evening. But when she says, how do the sensations, the perceptions, perceptive faculties arise, Dubois-Rimon asks, Mrs. Eddy says in the principle of soul tone, she doesn't reason from the question of the physical senses. Dubois-Rimon says, well, how do the physical senses arise? How do sensations come up? And she says, well, that's a wrong question. They don't. So she doesn't reason from that at the principle of soul tone. She doesn't go out from the five physical senses or the human perceptive faculties. She comes out from the science of soul. As you saw, that science of soul reverses the physical sense testimonies. And she says spiritual understanding enhances our endurance and mental powers. It's the science of soul which enlarges our perceptive qualities. The science of soul, or spiritual sense, gives acuteness and comprehensiveness and the ability to exceed one's ordinary capacities. The science of soul in its spiritual senses, they free the human mind from its limitation in physical senses. They develop the latent abilities and possibilities of man. They extend the atmosphere of thought, giving broader and higher realms of insight and perception. So it's it's in answer to Desbois Raymond, is the question isn't right about the physical senses. They don't arise. They're just the effect of a belief. What she answers that belief is with the fact that we are dealing with the spiritual senses, which gives us the true sense of perception and a higher sense of endurance and mental powers. She shows it the principle of soul tone. Then Desbois Raymond's question, what is the background of free will? Well, here Mrs. Eddy says again, at a principle of principle tone, that principle is imperative. It cannot be mocked by human will and free will. She shows here that the science of God rests on a fixed principle. It does not rest upon the judgment of our free will to have any kind of opinion that we like about being, to build any science upon our opinions. That there isn't a free will to do or obey any laws that we want to do or obey. That we're actually under the government of a fixed principle God.